Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you from Kenya today. We've been having very hot weather here the last few days, and we're in the hot, dry season now for about a month, and then at the middle of March, it'll start to pick up, or maybe early March, it'll start to pick up and rain a lot, the long rains, they call it, and so that'll be the time of planting for the maize crops, the beans, and all that that we grow in the spring. So God bless Kenya. We're seeing a locust invasion in Kenya in 14 counties, which are more like states in Kenya. 14 counties now have reported locust invasions, and each swarm of locust has billions of locusts in it. And so they're devouring the crops, they're devouring all kinds of vegetation, people's gardens, and this is a very serious issue as it could cause food prices to go up, famine in certain regions, maybe even across the whole country. And so keep that in your prayers as you pray for Kenya, as you pray for this ministry. The locust invasion is a sign of corruption, it's a sign of that the people of Kenya need to repent, that things are not right here, and so God is sending this invasion to put people here on their knees, and that they would cry out to Him, and they would turn to Him, and seek His face, and pray to Him, and that He would then hear our prayer, forgive our sin, and heal our land. And so we ask you to pray for Kenya, to pray for the locusts to go away, to pray for people in Kenya to repent. And that is the foremost prayer on the hearts of the people here in Kenya today. Well, again, Galatians 5:16, walking in the Spirit. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the people of Galatia. They were a new church, baby believers, and they were wanting to go back to their Jewish doctrine, the doctrine of keeping the law. And Paul says in verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another," or to each other, "to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Well, what's he saying here? He's saying that when you are walking in the Spirit, that is the counsel of the Holy Spirit. In this passage of Scripture, it's talking about the counsel and the direction of the Holy Spirit, because the word Spirit is capitalized. So Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, when you're walking under the counsel of that, you are not under the law. In other words, you're not trying to become righteous by carrying out the dictates of the law or being obedient to every jot and tittle of the law. Well, we know that in the Old Testament, the Pharisees made a lifestyle of carrying out every jot and tittle of the law, and that was their whole thrust in serving God, was to try to be righteous by keeping the law. And so when the new covenant came in, the new law came in, we have now freedom in Christ, and we don't have to keep in the same legalistic manner. We do keep the law out of love for Jesus and out of righteousness to do the right thing, but we are not gaining our standing. We are not gaining our righteousness. We are not gaining our salvation by law keeping and by keeping every jot and tittle of the law. And so Paul says here, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We have freedom in Christ. If you want to dance, you can dance. If you want to speak in tongues, you can speak in tongues. If you want to go visit your grandmother on Sunday, that's okay. If you want to worship on Saturday, that's okay. We have freedom in Christ to do as Christ directs us to do. And when you are free in Christ, you will live a moral life. Beloved, you will live a moral life, not out of duty, not out of striving, but you will live a moral life out of love for Jesus and just your desire to do the right thing. Your desire to live a righteous life comes from the moral code that is given to us by Christ. And when someone came to Jesus back in the book of Matthew, a young leader or young ruler came to Jesus and he asked, "What are the important commandments of the law that I must keep?" And Jesus said, "The commandments are just two in nature. The first one is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, strength, mind, and soul. And the second one is likened to the first, love your neighbor as yourself." And so Jesus boiled the commandments down, the Ten Commandments and all the other hundreds of commandments that the Pharisees kept and that they put on the people as a burden. The Pharisees strived to keep every one of those, and that was the whole focus of their service to the Lord. And so Jesus said, well, now there's only two commandments. You'll love the Lord your God. And so when you have that love in your heart for God, and you love him with all of your heart, strength, mind, and soul, you will automatically want to do the right thing in every situation. You will automatically know the right thing to do because you're led by the Spirit. You're led by the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And so the desire to be an upright person, the desire to be a righteous person, will automatically, innately be in you and come from the deepest part of your being. Paul talks about the deeds of the flesh. And when we get into this, this is the list of the ugliness of humankind. This is the deeds of ugliness of people all over the earth. I've been in many countries all over the earth. And although there's different kinds of debauchery, different kinds of deeds of the flesh, they basically all have a similar nature. It's the devil operating in people. It's demons operating in people. And so the deeds of the flesh, Paul goes on to say in Galatians 5:19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness," verse 20, "idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies," verse 21, "envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Well, you notice here in this list, and this is the list of the hall of shame, I guess you would say, the listing of all these deeds of the flesh, and this is the deeds that fill up the prisons, not only in America, but the prisons in Kenya are full. There's thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in prisons and jails here in Kenya, and in America we have 2 million, and that isn't even listing of all the people that should be in prison. That's just the listing of the ones who have been caught, tried, and convicted. And so you notice that in this list of the deeds of the flesh or the works of the flesh, the first four, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness, have to do with some type of sexual perversion and sexual immorality. And so this is a very big issue in Paul's day. It's a very big issue in our day. We have a great deal of sexual perversion and sexual immorality in America. Homosexual behavior and homosexual marriage, along with transgender behavior and all the other perversions, bestiality and adultery and all of that stuff. Fornication is sex outside of marriage and sex before marriage. All of this is listed as the first four works of the flesh, which are evident. Of course, pornography in America is a huge business, not only in America, but America produces a great deal of the pornography that is shipped all over the world and is a great stain on America as it ships its pornography and X-rated movies all over the world. And so these deeds of the flesh then become very tarnishing, very damaging, very defiling to the soul. Paul says when you have sexual immorality, it actually damages yourself, or other kinds of sin may damage other people or may cause certain kinds of repercussions and consequences. The sexual sins, they damage your own soul, and so you pay a price, you pay a consequence for them that are lasting in nature, very damaging and very defiling to the soul. Well, verse 20, then idolatry, sorcery, which is witchcraft, that is very big here in Kenya. Witchcraft is a big, big part of even Christians. Many Christians run to the witch doctor. Here in my village here in Kenya, the witch doctors openly advertise their services. You can walk down any street and see advertisements posted to the telephone poles or banners hanging on the trees of witch doctors advertising their services. They advertise on TV, they advertise on the radio. And so witchcraft is a very big issue here in Africa. It causes great damage to many people. It causes death to people, sickness to people. And so you really have to keep yourself prayed up, keep yourself protected, so the witch doctors don't attack you and try to destroy you. And then Paul goes on to list the interpersonal relationships, the interpersonal sins and deeds of the flesh, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath or violent anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder. Murder is an issue of the heart, beloved. Kenyans don't have access to guns, and for the most part, the only people here in Kenya that have guns are the politicians, and people that have a lot of money can get a permit to own a gun, but for the most part, 95% of the people in Kenya don't have guns. That is legal access to guns. The robbers, the thieves, the bandits all have guns in Kenya, but the legal people don't. And so murder is an issue of the heart, and so Kenyans don't have guns. So how do they murder people? They sharpen up their panga, which is their machete, and they take it and they chop up their wife or they chop up their neighbor. And so actually the murder rate here in Kenya is higher than it is in America, where 75% of the people in America own guns. There's hundreds of millions of guns in America, and yet here in Kenya, the murder rate is higher because people have anger and selfish ambitions and outbursts of wrath and jealousies and contentions and dissensions, and all of that is part of the fabric of the people here in Kenya. And so the murder rate here is quite high, the assault rate is high, and we have all of that, of course, too, in America. I'm not picking on Kenya, but I'm just saying that it is an issue of the heart. These ways that people kill each other comes from the heart. It doesn't come from the tool itself that they use. If there was no machetes here in Kenya, I'm sure they would use rocks to kill each other. And so it's an issue of the heart, has to be dealt with in the heart. And then Paul goes on to say drunkenness and revelries. Of course, drunkenness is a debauchery or a spiritual defiling of the soul that comes from drinking too much alcohol. And beloved, these use of drugs in America, the use of illegal drugs, street drugs, and psychotropic drugs, although they are legal, come from a yearning in the soul or a deep need in the soul that has to be dealt with. If you just placate the symptoms, if you just deal with the symptoms with street drugs or legal drugs, you're never getting to the source of the problem, which is a deep longing in the soul for connection with God. And people that take street drugs, whether it's meth or heroin or opiates or whatever, they have a deep longing in their soul that has not been dealt with. It's usually a spirit of rejection, a spirit of abandonment, or a spirit of loss or self-rejection. And when you get down and deal with those and you fill up that human spirit with the Holy Spirit of God, then those spirits of abandonment, those spirits of rejection and loss, and spirits of chaos and anger and outbursts of wrath, all those spirits then can be cast out when you start to fill up the holy temple with the Holy Spirit of God. And then Paul goes on to say that all of these deeds of the flesh, which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what does he mean, practice such things? When you do these deeds of the flesh on a daily basis or on a regular basis, on a consistent basis, without any repentance in your heart, without any desire to get right with God and repent of these sins and turn back from your wicked ways, then that is practicing these things. That is iniquity, which is the daily or the consistent practice of these deeds of the flesh, as in drunkenness or as in revelry or as in viewing pornography or a consistent lifestyle of fornication or adultery. When you practice these things without any repentance in your heart or any desire to get right with God, that means you are in apostasy. That means you are in a place where you have no good relationship with God. Paul says, when you practice these things in an unrepentant manner, if you die in that state, if God takes you in that state and your life on earth is over, and this is a part of your life, not inherit the kingdom of God. And so Paul is very adamant about this. He states this also in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. He says, and such were some of you that practice these things. Such were some of you, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous, Paul says, will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he goes on to list five or six deeds of the flesh: adultery, fornication, homosexual behavior, drunkenness, revelries, basically the same things that he lists here in Galatians. And he says that when you practice these things, that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of our God. And so what does he mean by washed, sanctified, and justified? He says, first you were washed, that is to say you were washed by the blood of Jesus, you were washed clean. That's what baptism represents. You go down in the water. The water washes over you. It's a symbolic representation of the washing of your sins by the blood of Jesus. Those sins are washed away. You come up out of that water and you are sanctified. You are now set aside by the blood of Jesus. You are now set aside. You are no longer the old creation. Now you are a new creation, and you are set aside for what? To do the work that God calls you to do. You are set aside now to walk in newness of life. You are set aside now to be something greater and something better, more righteous than you were before, that you could not accomplish before. And so you were washed by the blood, you're set aside, you're sanctified by the blood. And then Paul goes on to say, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does it mean to be justified in the name of the Lord Jesus? It means that you have now been judged righteous. When God looks at you, he doesn't see the old person, that old sinful nature. You have put off that sinful nature, and now God looks at you. He sees you as he sees his Son, Jesus Christ, because you have put on Christ in baptism. You have been baptized into Christ. You have put on Christ, and now the new creation, that walk with the Lord Jesus, that new creation is who you are. Behold, all things are new. When the old has been put off and put away, then you are a new creation in Christ, and you are judged as righteous, just as God judged his Son, Jesus Christ, as righteous after Jesus was baptized, after Jesus went to the cross. You are now also judged as righteous. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So in other words, Paul's saying, I have freedom. I have freedom. If I want to drink Coke 10 times a day, I have freedom to do that. But beloved, you're not going to be healthy if you do that. You have freedom to sit around and watch TV all day if you want to. That's not going to be a helpful thing for you. You have freedom to skip church if you want to, but that's not going to be a helpful thing for you. And you have freedom to ignore the call of God, but that's not going to be a helpful thing for you. Paul says, all things are lawful. We have freedom in Christ, but all things are not helpful. And then in terms of addictions or deeds of the flesh, Paul says, I will not be brought under the power of any. Beloved, big problem in America is gluttony. We have so much. We have been blessed with so much. And we have freedom to go to the buffet every day if we want to. All you can eat places, you have freedom to do that. But it's not going to be helpful to you. Gluttony is a big problem, and therefore you need to analyze if you have a problem with obesity and with gluttony. You need to analyze what it is in your spirit that desires all of this food. Why do you have to placate emptiness of your spirit and of your soul? Why do you have to placate that with food or with drugs or with beer, with alcohol, whatever it is that you're putting into your body, into your holy temple, to placate and soothe your rejection, your abandonment, your loneliness, whatever it is that you're using to do that? Paul says, I'm not going to be brought under the power of anything. He's not going to give in to compulsive behavior, to addictions, and be a slave to that sin that tries to enslave him. Well, the beautiful part of this chapter in Galatians chapter 5 is then that Paul wraps it up with the fruit of the Spirit. And this is a listing of the fruits that are hanging off of your holy temple, the fruits that are hanging off of your body. And this is what a believer should look like. This is what a believer should exhibit to the world. If Jesus Christ is in you, if the Holy Spirit is abiding with you, you should exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is what the world should see when they see you as a believer in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul says, against such there is no law. In other words, we don't have to have a law to tell us how to use these. We don't have to have a law to tell us when to access these fruits of the Spirit or in what situations they can be utilized. When you have the fruit of the Spirit, that is just coming forth from you every single day, coming forth, and that is who you are. That is what you become, and you start to look and behave and act like Jesus Christ, and you have been predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That is God's will for your life. That is God's plan. And as you seek him, as you become more like him, then these fruit of the Spirit will be obvious to all around you. They will be obvious. And this is what your life will start to look like. Well, beloved, I hope you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. If you don't, seek the Lord, seek his face. You will have the fruit of the Spirit. If you're bogged down in addictions and you're bogged down in all kinds of debauchery and sexual immorality. Seek the Lord, seek his face, repent of your wicked ways. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never confessed him as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. Get down on your knees, say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I'm a sinner. I want to repent of my sin, my wicked ways. I want to turn to you, seek you, start to read the Bible, start to go to the fellowship, get in a good Bible-believing church, get around people that can encourage you and pray for you, and you will walk in the Spirit. Your life will change. You will turn from your wicked ways. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to help support this ministry. Pray for us. Sit down. Drop us a line. Let us know you're listening. Let us know what you want to hear in terms of messages. Include a check of support. We would be very grateful and appreciative of that. Pray for the ministry here in Africa. We have crusade coming up in Mwanza in Tanzania in a week, so pray for that and the children's projects we have going here in Africa. And so if you'll do that, we would be very grateful. You will be blessed. We will be blessed. And we thank you again for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening again. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.